You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from the most wonderful time of the year with Rickle Bears. What? Rickle Bears? It doesn't matter. It's the finale. It's here. And this is, of course, the one, the only interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. Rickle Bears.
Rickleberries.
No, not berries. Oh. Bears.
Oh, Rickle Bears. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody, I'm Brandon, and if you are listening to this on your podcast app of choice, you missed the 30, 40 minutes of Brandon effing everything else up before the show starts. So welcome. It's going to be a great episode. I cannot wait. So let's get right into it. Social media, Travis, take it away.
It's the finale. It's the finale, right? So last episode of season six, but that doesn't mean, you know, we should stop hanging out. Right. If you want to follow us on the social medias, you can do that on Twitter at Rick and Morty Pod or over on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast, on Instagram, Rick and Morty Podcast, or send us an email with your thoughts, your concerns over at rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. We're over on the subreddits, rickandmorty.reddit.com, and our subreddit, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com. You can also go to our website, rickandmortypod.com, where you can get all of our episodes, including the back catalog and I don't know, the picture of us eating pickles. It's all there. It's fine. We're streaming live. We're streaming live right now over at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. If you are following us over there, you can get notifications when we go live or when only one of us is ready to go live and the other one is struggling with connection issues and things like that. It's a great time. It's a great time. Make sure to follow us over on Twitch. Or you can catch recorded video versions of the podcast over on YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. If you're watching on YouTube, thanks so much for checking out the show. Like, subscribe, do all those important things over there. Are you good? Can you hear Brandon?
Yeah, no, I can hear fine. Don't talk to me, you know, about okay, being ready.
No talking to Brandon. Finally.
A very special thank you to all of our supporters over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm.
Thanks to everybody that supports the show financially over at Patreon. You guys are the real MVP. Thank you so much for supporting us this season and every season and in between the seasons even sometimes. Brandon, social media's done.
Social media's done.
You're looking very clear and connected right now. The Teemo hat is giving you a weird sort of energy.
I had to make it up somewhere. So what do they say? Hey, funny hat. Funny how it changes everything. I was gonna do like maybe just a fisherman's hat, but I decided no, that's not funny enough. Let's do a Teemo hat, which isn't funny if you're a League of Legends fan.
I'm fishing Brandon. I'm totally different than that other Brandon. I have zero interest in taking over the world.
Dumb. I hate myself.
Dumb. All right. Well, I'm sure there's plenty of for us to talk about. So let's get right into our first segment, a segment we like to call semi-pertinent news.
Got a little bit of those jingle bears in the background. That's good. Welcome to semi-pertinent news. That we're trying to get into the holiday spirit here before we get into the holiday spirit. So let's start off with this first story. Very semi-pertinent, pertinent to the finale last night. After the finale, this video was shown. It was the Adult Swim Yule log. And, you know, there's been variations of the Yule log, a little bit of everywhere. Over on Shudder, they have like the Ghoul log when it's Halloween.
Ghoul log?
Yeah, the Ghoul log. But Adult Swim got into the action.
Sounds like a Russian prison.
I see. Or a soup? Is goulash? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
This hour, yeah. It's an hour and a half thing. Travis, you take it away. You're the one who wrote this down. I want you to take it away.
Yeah. So if you watch the premiere or the finale live, then you may have seen this Yule log. It was a surprise airing right after the finale. And yeah, so it starts off like a traditional Yule log sort of video where it's basically a tight shot of a fireplace with some holiday music playing in the background. There's a title screen that says Adult Swim Yule Log, right? And it's very unsuspecting. But after about a minute or so, suddenly somebody comes into frame and you hear somebody talking. It's like a cleaning lady. She's going to be cleaning up this place. And then from there, it takes a very dark turn. And after not very long, about 5 minutes, you start to realize that this is not your traditional Yule log. It is, in fact, an hour and a half long horror film directed by Casper Kelly, who brought us the classic Too Many Cooks, which if you have not seen Too Many Cooks from Adult Swim, highly recommend going to watch Too Many Cooks. But yeah, this was a full-length horror film, surprise airing on Adult Swim. If you missed it and you have an HBO Max subscription, you can go out right now to HBO Max and watch this. I honestly feel like there were probably a lot of people who watched the finale and they were like, oh, they're just going to show a burning log for the next hour? Cool, I guess I'll see what's on another channel. Really, I don't know. I've watched probably the first 10 minutes of it and it's interesting. I am intrigued and will potentially watch the rest of it. When I don't have a podcast to record.
That was going to be my next question were you going to stick with it? Were you going to go back and watch the rest of it? And I got my answer. I don't even have to ask you because you already told me.
You don't need to ask me questions. I did the last half hour by myself in chat.
Yeah. that's good. I'm proud of you.
Did you get a chance to check out anything or read anything about this yet? Because I know you were busy last night with foosball. But did you get a chance to see any of it?
I'm so glad you asked, Travis, because in my email today from Adult Swim, they put out their presser, which pushed it out there, talking about the Yule log being by Casper Kelly. Getting, you know, the press kit stuff. You know, I saw his picture. I read his bio. It was pretty impressive. And also in the subreddit, people were posting in like the post episode discussion about like, what the hell's going on with this Yule log thing? but once I saw this from Casper Kelly, the Too Many Cooks dude, I was like, all right, you know, they say too many cooks can spoil the broth, but I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true. Not with Casper.
I'm going to have to watch that like as soon as we're done with this episode.
I will check it out. Seeing that it's like an hour and a half and I did, you put in here full length horror film. And so I'm like, okay, like, is it full length? Is it like Hulu After Dark full length, meaning like an hour long? No, it's an hour and
hour and a half. I would consider that a full length movie.
I would too,
personally.
I would too. Smile, I think, is like an hour and a half. Nope was longer, but that's more like, I don't know if it's real horror. It's not pure horror anyway. Great movie. Okay, moving on.
So there you go, a movie for you that's semi pertinent to Rick and Morty.
Yeah,
and Adult Swim.
And by the way, a horror movie that Travis has seen more of than I. There you go.
Not for long.
not for long. The next bit of news. Hey, if you haven't gotten your loved one a Game Pass subscription, do it now for Christmas because High on Life is out on Game Pass. That's right. It just came out today. You can check it out. It's Roiland's new game from Squanch Games.
Is that today? I thought it was tomorrow.
Yeah, well,
I can't wait. Okay.
Is today the 12th? Today's the 12th. It's out today.
It's out today. By the time you're listening to this, unless you're watching us live or you could just leave the live stream now and go download it. That's fine, too. We wouldn't. I think less of you. I will have to download this. Should I download it on my Xbox or do you think I can download it on my PC?
You can do both, Travis.
Yeah.
I'm giving you that permission.
I'll do both. Thanks. I'll do both.
I mean, you ask and I give because it's the spirit of the season. The
spirit of giving.
Mm-hmm.
Giving
mm-hmm.
Game Pass.
Anyways, go do that on your free spare time, which is probably right now because we're part of that. Unless you're at work. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
In which case, I don't know, set up remote downloads on your console so you can download it from work.
Yeah, as I do between Board Game Arena and real work. Okay. Before we go into the thing that we do after this, the semi-perp thing.
The main one.
there's something special, and this is a very special moment. We haven't seen it in weeks, but today we're bringing it back. That's right, everybody. It's the Dan Harmon Social Media Minute.
Dan! That's right. Dan Harmon Social Media Minute. He's back. He's alive, everybody. That's right. All hope was lost for a brief period of time. But then 2 days ago, maybe 3 days.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, four days ago, as a matter of fact.
Hitting us right in the face with an update.
We had a post from Dan, a very simple caption that just says, me, what's more gorgeous than an empty bar at Christmas time? Mark at Foxfire Room, owner. Customers. That's right. Customers are more beautiful than the empty bar. Yeah, just like out of the blue, Dan was posting again. All posts from the same bar over a few consecutive days. Dan trying to avoid soccer because, one, it cares what you call it, but two, it's a sport with red flags for me. And, you know, anyway, he posted about the World Cup. He talked about like France losing or something like that. Anyway.
Ooh, and he's drinking a dirty martini there.
Yeah, it is a martini. Oh. That's right. He was so happy to be drinking unstirred martinis, which they believed were the most British drink, but they can't confirm that. He was hoping that post would give a Dan Harmon World Cup bump, and it did not. The team lost anyway.
Can I put a thought out there real quick? We don't have to linger on it, but here's what I want to say. I've had stirred martinis. I've had shaken martinis. I've had just martinis where I put the shot and then shot and shot and shot. They all kind of taste the same to me. I guess my palate's not refined for it. I think with the shaken, you get maybe some ice chips to it. Maybe that's part of it.
I would feel like shaking would dilute the cocktail slightly, while also lowering the temperature.
With shaking it? No. Oh, if you're shaking it with ice, then it would lower the temperature. Got it.
Yeah.
It's like when you're talking about like the air conditioner, right? Where you're like, turn the air conditioner down. You're like, why is it 40 degrees in here? Well, I turned it down. Like, no, I mean, like, you know, turn it up, like make the temperature higher. Like, don't have it be as powerful. And don't have it be as strong and cold. Turn it up.
So you turn I've never it down. Had a martini.
All right, whatever. Okay.
I don't like olives. So
you don't need an olive. Okay. A cucumber or a gherkin.
Gherkin. I think I've probably had like a chocolate martini or some other, like, I don't know, lame drink like that.
Yeah, lame.
Before I switch to more refined cocktails. Anyway, that's your Dan Harmon Social Media Minute. Thank you, Dan, for posting. If you want to follow Dan, go out to Instagram. That's the only place he posts. That is it for semi-pertinent news for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. It is now time for us to talk about, I think the last episode of season 6 in a segment we like to call The Main Thing.
Oh, I didn't update the song, but so we get another round with this song. For the main thing, baby. Oh yeah, here we go. Grass is green in the city when you put water on it. Specifically.
Near spit take on this episode of Interdimensional RSS. That's right. It's The Main Thing, season 6, episode 10, the season finale, Rictional Mort Boons Rickmas Mortcation. That's a mouthful, to say the
least. Episode, it came out yesterday, 11th of December, 2022, written by Scott Martyr, directed by Kyung-Yi Lim, guest starring, of course, Keith David and a handful of other folks. I'm sorry, I saw Raczynski in there. But anyway, Arbanopsis, it's ours. I'm owning it. Adult Swim owns us money. As long as they don't say that they own it, we own it. Merry Rickmas, bruh.
That's right. Merry Rickmas, bruh. I figured out where I can find those now on my own. So I no longer need to go to the internet. They're literally in the episodes that I download. So really handy. Anyway, our synopsis, Rick ruins Christmas again. And we learn a powerful lesson about love. So there you go. Obviously, the title reference to the classic Christmas comedy, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, a staple in plenty of households this time of year. Is it a staple in your household, Brandon?
It is a staple in our house. Yeah. So much that, like when we used to make mixed tapes and mixed CDs, my wife, she put the quote when Clark Griswold is found out he's not going to get a bonus and he's like getting drunk on the eggnog. It's like, hey, I got something for you. and then at the very end, he's like, holy shit, I have a headache.
Where's the Tylenol?
Where's the Tylenol?
Yeah. This was the first year watching Christmas Vacation where my public opinion of, not even my public opinion, but the general public opinion of Chevy Chase as a person, mm-hmm. affected my enjoyment of that film.
Oh, yeah.
So I let that go. I had some eggnog and then just enjoyed the movie again. So there you go. Christmas Vacation, a classic. Also, for some reason, Raising Cane's is like a bunch of themed Christmas Vacation stuff. You can buy like plushes and stuff. Weird. Anyway, we're going to talk about this episode, a Christmas episode, once again, very timely. I would say possibly the most timely of Christmas episodes in Rick and Morty history, only 2 weeks ahead of the actual holiday. I don't know. What'd you think, Brandon, when you initially watched this episode?
Well, I was excited for there to be a Christmas episode. Maybe excited is very strong. I wouldn't say,
so pumped. Oh. You're like, yay, Christmas.
It was more so, oh, cool, it's Christmas. Oh, it's the finale. What should I expect coming out of the finale? Should I expect anything that's going to blow my mind? Is it going to be a season finale that like leads us into like, oh my, what's going to happen next? Or is it going to be more of a ho-hum finale? That was kind of what
ho-ho-ho-hum finale.
I can't even take that away from you, Travis, because this is the spirit of giving. And you have to give it to me.
And we've learned something about love.
shit. That was good. That was good. So that's kind of what I thought going into it. I was at a Dolphins Chargers game last night, and
my
watch of the episode was a little bit delayed, so I didn't actually watch it until I got home, stopped crying about how the Dolphins did, and it was like probably like 11:45 or something the first time I watched it. I enjoyed it. But I have thoughts, and I think we're going to talk about those thoughts in a minute.
No, not in this episode. We're not going to talk about our thoughts at all.
Ho, ho, ho. What about you?
I woke up, as I explained in the Twitch pre-show, to a message from you.
I get it. Damn it. Get it. I was running late.
I got a message from you saying that, like, it wasn't necessarily your favorite or, what was the message exactly? You were something like,
this is the worst episode of the season. Fuck Rick and Morty.
Oh, unsubscribe. Let's cancel the podcast, I think is what you said.
I did say that.
You said, I don't think I'm a huge fan of that finale. Mm-hmm. And that was the first thing I saw when I woke up, because immediately, as soon as I opened my eyes, before my feet hit the floor, I immediately opened up my messaging app to see if Brandon's texted me overnight. the episode was available on iTunes at like 2 a.m. So I downloaded the episode, but I'm already coming into it with tempered expectations, right? I was looking at your comment. I was like, okay, maybe this finale falls flat a little bit. Maybe it isn't very good. And honestly, I thought like the episode was all right, but I did feel like the pacing was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. The lack of a cold open for me was a little bit jarring, because initially I turned on the episode while I was like getting ready for work. And I was like, I'll just watch the full cold open and then I'll go to work. And then like 12 minutes into the episode, I'm like, when are they going to do the theme song? And I was like, oh shoot, I should probably start my commute before I'm late for work. I watched like the first half of it, and then I watched it like twice over lunch, and overall I thought like it was a decent episode, but a lot of it just didn't feel like a finale. I felt like it was an all right episode. It was a good episode. Stuff that was in it was good. I liked a lot of the Star Wars stuff. Honestly, I feel like they're going to the Keith David like president well a little too often now. I'd like to see a different antagonist from time to time, I think. But I mean, he's great.
We're not to that right. section yet where we just talk shit about this episode.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, spoilers. It's great. It's a great episode. Let me scroll down in the show notes. Let's talk about themes from this episode.
Real quick. Yeah. No, I'm right there. I'm right there with you. Yeah. So, you know, a part of this episode, it is, I guess we should talk about last episode with Rick and King Mortar's Mort, where yes. the whole thing is Rick tells Morty not to take the sword. Morty takes the sword, insults Rick, and then Rick comes back and he's like, 22% nicer or whatever. And all the viewers, for the most part, I guess I will say all definitively, universally, were like,
because you're scouring that subreddit and nobody said anything to the contrary.
Everyone was like, where's the other shoe going to drop? Where's the twist? Where is he going to become an asshole? Right. And you and I had this discussion on the last episode too, being like, maybe one of us said that, like, if it would feel weird if that Sun episode was a standalone episode, but then there was a twist later where Rick turns into an asshole again. And so that's where we come into this episode now, where it turns out that Rick, it was a robot the entire time.
Yeah.
And he's filling in for the real Rick. I can talk about I won't say gripes, but disappointment with that in a little bit. But that is kind of what drives a lot of the the B plot, I guess, with the Robo Rick having trouble, conflicted, having to lie about being a robot, but really loving the family and wanting it all to end.
That arc was probably one of my favorite things about this episode, is how much that version of Rick, the robot version, who has one thing that he really can't do, which is tell the family outright that he's a robot. He has to adamantly deny that. He can literally construct family games to try and hint at it. I don't know, sort of that like existential suffering that we've seen played out at other times. I think of like Tiny Rick when he's, you know, Rick is trapped in this teenage body and he's trying to get out of it. Right. I even think of like Butterbot. Right. Just like sort of like this, like, oh, my God, like, is this my only purpose? But obviously a much more robust android in this robot, Rick. It felt like, and you talk about the last episode when Rick was being super nice in that episode. It almost felt like it was a continued progression of things that we had seen throughout the course of the season. Rick is going to therapy. He is learning more about himself. He's coming to terms with some of his failures. So then you have right after that an episode where Rick, maybe his eyes are open to the fact that Morty is growing apart from him and suddenly feels like, I need to make a change so that I can better connect with my grandson. And then immediately in the next episode, we discover, no, that's not genuine. Rick just created a robot that lied about being a robot. And yeah, there we go. Also, you're apparently inviting me to play games on Steam. So that's happening right now. Maybe our kids are trying to play together. Anyway. So I don't know. I really liked how genuine the robot felt. And even in later parts of the episode, when they bring him back, I just really liked that robot version of Rick, even though it is not a genuine version of Rick.
Yeah.
From what we get down on level 10 of the sub basements.
And to that point, the Rick felt genuine and like, but it was a robot. At the end of the episode, the Robo Rick made a point to say, I was created specifically to take care of you, to make you feel loved. So everything I did was essentially Rick's doing. I felt that was a way to be like, see, look, Rick still cares. He's just kind of in a gruff mode. I didn't fully get that. I didn't fully necessarily feel that. I felt like it was like the line tossed in to make us be like, oh no, let's forgive Rick for being an asshole randomly.
Yeah.
Because it's like AI art, Travis. Here's the thing. You know, if I put a prompt into a thing, like, I'm not really creating the art, am I? I'm putting a prompt in there. I can, you know, yeah, it's okay. Okay.
Sure.
Anyway. Yeah,
I guess that works. yeah, no, I did like, and Peace Among Ricks talking about this in the chat, that they first thought they were gonna say that Robot Rick was Rick for like the majority of the season, mm-hmm. or something, right? And if they had done that, I feel like that would have invalidated even more of that growth and development that we saw in the character of Rick. The fact that he's only been a robot for about an episode, a couple of months in showtime, right? I think I'm willing to give a pass on that. I'm willing to say, okay, this is a knee-jerk reaction from Rick where he felt offended and he kind of like backslid into, let me just focus on myself and on hunting Rick Prime, and let me just make a robot version of myself to make Morty feel better about our relationship. The fact that they only really did that for about an episode's worth of time, it's forgivable. It's fine. I'm willing to let that be the case.
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't like, oh, it's been somebody else the entire season.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm glad it was the one episode. Putting that out there, in Honey is watching in the Twitch chat, talking about that as well. Like, last episode was way sudden, exponential character growth. So it makes sense in retrospect, since that felt unearned. And we had the conversation last episode too about same thing with you. You're like, it seemed like a massive jump, like when the Robo Rick is saying to him, like, oh, you know, who knew that giving nukes to the Amish would end up this way? This is our crisis. We got to take care of it, all that type of stuff. And you felt that was unnatural and kind of shoehorned in. Yeah, I for that reason, I'm glad that it was just the one episode. I think what kind of throws me off is there was character growth throughout the season. we don't hear anything really about Rick Prime or any of that search stuff until this episode. And in this episode, Rick has been locked away in his bunker on level 10 in his just his boxer shorts, unshaven for however long he's been. And yeah. So it made it seem like he's been in there a lot longer, like an entire season's worth of time. So there's almost like for me a little bit of a mental disconnect with it seems like he's been in there for a really long time, but it's only really been between this episode and last episode. And so it feels like that season, those two episodes are disconnected from the rest of the season before it because of that.
Yeah. And if you watch like the inside of the episode, Scott Martyr talks a little bit about wanting to interweave everything that's happened in the season and bring those ideas of Rick Prime from the beginning of the season into this finale and sort of do it in a way that shows that even though Rick has really been able to focus more on the family throughout the season and on himself, that initial drive that has kind of driven Rick into all of his adventures ever since he lost his family, that hasn't really gone away. And even if it's taken place in the background, it's still going on, and it's something that Rick hasn't been able to shake. And I do think that's the important thing within this episode, is that Rick is not going to be taking on that challenge by himself anymore. He hasn't been able to do that successfully. So welcoming Morty into that, you know, pursuit of Rick Prime, almost as like a partner, to me, I feel like is the best tie to last season's finale in terms of trying to grow that partnership between Rick and Morty. What I struggle with is the rest of season six didn't seem to be building towards that.
Yeah.
It almost felt like they were growing further apart in season six. There are a lot of episodes, to include the previous episode where they had to make a freaking robot, right, to get along with Morty, where it seemed like they weren't getting along as well, or they weren't the same duo that you had in earlier seasons. So I'm hopeful that maybe this is a turn that can then create that sort of dynamic duo in Rick and Morty, but you know, time will tell.
Yeah. I have this thought. It's not explicitly tied to that, but the crux of him developing a robot to love the family was the whole Morty not listening to him and insulting him, right? There's almost, to me, it's going back to the end of the Pissmaster episode when like the whole family is after him and giving him shit. Like that almost feels like that's the turning point where like that's when he's like, okay, I'm going to focus now on this hunt for Rick Prime. Now here's a robot to take care of all the family because I do care about him, but I'm not going to deal with this emotional bullshit with them right now. I can't. I got to focus on this. Like that seems more of a catalyst than Morty, who has insulted Rick before in the past. Like worse than that.
But in the past, he just made a vat of acid or something.
True that.
Or would just mind blowers like take the idea away.
Yeah.
He's growing. He's becoming different.
So the Rick Prime stuff, the hunt for Rick Prime. Okay. The fact is it is here now at the forefront again. Well, not even it was,
or at least maybe a season premiere. We'll see.
at least there's all those dots on the screen, not from where he's been, but where he is.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your thoughts on that line and what you think it means going to the next season.
I committed very few brain cells to trying to deal with that. Like the fact that he exists, he's in multiple locations at once. Okay. Did he clone himself? Did he, he is, if not the Rickest Rick, he is definitely one of the OG Ricks, right? So he's definitely capable of doing a lot of pretty impressive stuff. And even if they started over in their original dimensions, he's had a whole season, Rick Prime has, to build up his defenses again and, you know, sort of elude the Rick whose family he destroyed. So I'm curious how they choose to play that out in the next season, but I'm not sure. I'm giving the writers and the entire crew a little bit of leeway to be like, cool, you put a bunch of dots on the screen. Maybe we'll figure out what that means. Maybe we won't. We'll see.
We'll see.
I don't know. What did you think? What did you think when you saw those dots?
I thought I was confused by the line. It's where he is. I'm like, really? Did he put a little bit of DNA in all of those spots? Is he cloning himself? What is he doing? Who knows? That was my thought. Knows? There was a thought I had about the Rick Prime stuff. I saw it's not an original thought. I saw somebody post about it on Reddit, which is Rick when he's talking to Morty and the whole backstab conversation. Rick says, you know, that's when you let somebody in. They backstab you and then they kill your family. So the question is, and the thought is that he's searching for Rick Prime. They're talking about him being betrayed and then his family getting killed. Does that imply that they were partners in some way, shape, or form? You know, like partners in crime, perhaps? We know that the whole portal travel thing was a thing that, like in his memory in season 3.
Yeah, and we're given very little context to what happens before that interaction with Rick Prime. So we don't necessarily know that that's their first interaction. It could have been. I think we all assume it is, but there could be more to it. They could have had some sort of partnership or collaboration beforehand. It's just another throwaway line, right? Yeah. Or it's a line for, you know, Morty, where he's let Morty in and then and he loses his whole family because of Morty. That doesn't make sense. Anyway, moving on.
moving on. Look, we're talking about robots. We're talking about different Ricks. We're talking about tricks. No, we're not talking about Halloween. It's not a Halloween episode. No, it's Christmas. Christmas. Entire season centered around
Mary Chrysler
tricking your kids into thinking that some other person is giving them all the gifts. And tricking them and eventually
Saint Nicholas.
yeah, Christmas and tricking people into loving you. What are your thoughts on that?
We have a section in the show notes for themes and really, like, outside of a tortured robotic Rick, Rick and Morty growing apart and the hunt for Rick Prime, that and a perfectly vertical lightsaber. There were a lot of Christmas themes and, I don't know, sort of that idea of like being the type of person that your family will love, right? Like, when you're in a family gathering or things like that, like, yeah, like appeasing your family and tricking them into loving you. So to speak, that there's this version of Rick that is getting way more love than Rick normally gets in that environment. Like he's in the center of multiple group hugs in this episode. And I don't know. It's just really like it's sweet in the moments. And then you're like, well, that's not really Rick. And like, that's not how Rick would really behave. Does the family really love Rick for Rick? Like, or do they just love this version of Rick? I don't know.
That hurts. Sad. That's sad. That's depressing.
Yeah. Which is, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Which is why
enjoy spending time with your family.
It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life.
It was Miracle on 34th Street.
I know. No, I'm saying It's a Wonderful Life is a very depressing. Is that even a Christmas? It's barely a Christmas movie. It's a Wonderful Life.
I tend to watch it during Christmas. Movies I haven't watched yet this season. Christmas movies anyway. It's a Wonderful Life, Die Hard, and Another Grinch Stole Christmas. I don't think I've watched any of those yet.
Violent Night. Good Christmas movie.
Violent Night and the Adult Swim Yule Log available on HBO Max.
real quick, we keep saying The Hunt for Rick Prime. This is just an aside. It's not a theme. It's not a discussion. But I think a great episode title would be The Hunt for Rick Prime-tober.
Yeah. Scott Martyr. That one's free. Use it.
It's free.
We'll take a very, very light writing credit in the post episode credits.
I don't even need to be part of the union, right? I don't want that. If somebody's getting murdered, you know, put us in the
Rick
show.
Prime Tober. He's in a submarine in this one, bro.
All right. Let's go in to talk about our favorite bits. The Miracle on 34th Street stuff. Even this is getting old for me. Miracle on 37th Street.
You know what's weird is I randomly watched most of Miracle on 34th Street this weekend, like on Saturday.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, that's definitely a Christmas movie. But this is done so well in the classic interdimensional cable sort of way where I honestly feel like if Justin Roiland had never seen Miracle on 34th Street and they're like, all right, Justin, just whatever you think the movie's about, you just riff on that for a few minutes and go. And he's like, streets, we love miracles and streets in New York. And he's got like a weird sort of accent, like an old timey accent.
I mean, I've never seen Miracle on 34th Street, but isn't it basically like Santa gets arrested or something and he's like going to court or something? Something like that.
The movie starts with a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. And the Santa who's supposed to be in the parade is trashed, so drunk. And there's another guy who looks like Santa who's like, you're drunk. You can't be in this parade. You're going to disappoint all the kids. Well, that guy turns out to be the real Santa Claus. And he gets hired by Macy's to be like the in-store Santa. And the whole time he like is adamant that he is, you know, Kris Kringle and he is the real Santa. And the movie ends with a courtroom like trial where they are trying to prove that he is the real Santa Claus. And thanks to, spoilers for anybody that hasn't seen Miracle on 34th Street, thanks to the United States Postal Service, a federally recognized organization, the post office had delivered all of the letters to Santa Claus to him. And so that was legitimate evidence that a branch of the United States government recognized this individual as Santa Claus. And therefore he is in fact Santa Claus.
And that was the miracle.
Miracle. The miracle of the United States legal system.
Oh, I wonder if the Postal Service got funding from that. And that's why they're having funding woes now. Is they're like, all that 34th Street money is drying up.
We gotta do a 2-hour extended cut version to get the prices up.
Oh.
And then they're like, we'll put it on Amazon Prime. And they're like, no.
No. All right. Enough,
that's great.
Enough.
I love that bit. Santa, it's one of my favorite bits.
You put here Garage Fruit Ninja.
Yeah, because when he's in the authorized Jedi zone that is the garage, and he was looking for something to hit, of course Rick comes through with a cart of fruit, and the only thing I could think of was Fruit Ninja. It just looked like the old cell phone game Fruit Ninja that we all played before we knew any better.
It did. Or you go to Chuck E. Cheese and they've got a Fruit Ninja big screen too.
Yeah, now, All the classic apps that we used to play on our phones in like the mid 2000s are now giant arcade games at like Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, Flappy Bird is there. I mean, come on, you know, come on.
Flappy Bird, Crossy Road.
Oh yeah, Crossy Road.
Yeah, Doodle Jump. It's all there.
Oh yeah,
it's all there.
Okay. Ooh, you got an exhaustive list of all the game apps now arcade machines.
Right.
There was a lot of we didn't really talk about this in the theme, but we probably should have, which is all of the Star Wars stuff. I mean, it was packed to the brim with Star Wars stuff, with lines, with references. And a big piece of that was, of course, that Morty's gift that he wanted for forever was an actual lightsaber, which led us to the catalyst for the whole episode, which is that thing landing perfectly vertical, going straight down, which is, I guess, a philosophical conversation that people have had in the past. People in subreddit mentioning like, oh, yeah, we talked about this the other day. What happens if a lightsaber goes perfectly vertical? Which is always strange to me. I'm like, I can't even get like a pencil to stand up like this thing is flat on the bottom. I have a hard time, you know, making it go perfectly vertical.
And they've dropped plenty of lightsabers in the movies, right? and in the animated features. But this to me feels like an argument that took place probably in the writer's room, but could have easily happened in a room full of 20-year-old software developers, because I will tell you, I have heard some of the most ridiculous arguments ever in my life in a room full of 20-something-year-old software developers. But this idea that a perfectly vertical lightsaber would just cut through anything below it and just continue to go all the way, they're like, yeah, we should just put that as a thing in the episode. It's silly. It was kind of funny at times. The payoff was interesting. When they did it the first time, I was like, okay. When they did it the second time, I was like, all right, come on. like when it happens to the president, I was like, all right, like, sure. But I think that ridiculousness of it was part of the, sort of the humor that they were going for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, which going back, the president is saying like, what are lightsabers powered by? And his aide is like, kyber crystals.
Kyber crystals.
Did you?
And what does the president say? Nerd. Right after that, I printed these on my 3D printer on Saturday.
Yeah.
I printed kyber crystals on Saturday, and then they get mentioned in the episode the next day.
I'm saying, dude, yeah, like, I just remember like when they said kyber crystals, like, did he print those out before he saw the episode or after he saw the episode? Sure enough.
I was a super nerd, and I sent you a picture and said, the strongest stars have hearts of kyber.
That's right, nerd. Zatchmo here mentioning something I wanted to mention, which is in canon, lightsabers turn off if you drop them, which I think is why like force throws, the force throws of the lightsaber are interesting, because the force user is actually holding the button down with the force. That's why it stays lit the entire time. So Morty dropping the lightsaber perfectly vertical, it would have turned off right away. That's why when people drop their
episode
lightsabers
broken
in the movies, they don't just sit there and like
bouncing around on the floor.
Anyways,
kyber crystals.
Inaccurate. Gen X.
Another favorite bit, and we mentioned it earlier, is the Are You a Robot game. If you've ever played, any sort of like Secret Hitler or like Mafia type game or
a werewolf. Yeah.
It totally made me think of those games. Only if you're playing Are You a Robot with an actual robot. I don't know. I loved it. I loved the clues that he was giving. And what's your skeleton made out of? Titanium. You're a robot.
Yes. No. No,
is what I would have to say, if I was a robot.
That scene on rewatch is fun every single time you watch it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. So Hunnian's watching in the chat, mentioning their favorite line. I'm not touching that thing. I'll get neurotypical cooties. Which brings us to your favorite bit too, is I have son-in-laws more imaginative.
Yeah. I just like that Rick manages to insult Jerry, even if Jerry's not around.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's just his easy go-to all the time.
In a Butter Robot-esque way, the AI lightsaber, the Virta saber, talking back to Rick the entire time.
Yeah, like, am I expected to respond every time?
I control you. Oh, I'll turn my brain off then. Have fun. Right, then. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. And then he ends up in Italy. That's Amori. Yeah, I did, again, back to the Star Wars stuff. The Star Wars nerd cave that exists in the White House, just behind the Oval Office. Lots of cool stuff. A little cantina, some droids. I did have an issue with some of the droids. Like, I thought the droid with lightsabers for eyes was pretty silly. But the lightsaber Gatlin gun was a nice touch.
It was a silly nice touch. I don't know how. No, you know what? I'll save it for the next bit. The best and worst parts. We'll just go into the Mr. Ripped poopy butthole ending tag. Yeah. Good to see little poopy pants back. Doing squats.
I genuinely forget about this being a part of the show, right up until the end of the season every year, and then I'm like, oh yeah, Mr. Poopy Butthole, and I like that he was like watching the episode on like an exercise bike and on what looked like a Hulu streaming service or something, or like HBO Max or something.
Did we make a bet at the beginning of the season that we would see him or not? I feel like that was the thing.
Help us out, Unity. Keep us honest. Did we make a bet about seeing an old poopy superstar?
And we won. I'm sure.
Yeah, we won. Yeah. Poor guy. I did think his personal trainer looked an awful lot like
the personal trainer
that Dan Harmon was working with for a long time. So that may have been a nod to the real world personal trainer in Dan Harmon's life. But yeah, I'm still hoping that, yeah, you know, he and Amy can work things out and they can get that little poopy family back together before the end of, I don't know, season 10 or something.
It's right around the corner. We're almost there.
Anytime.
Well, let's talk about our best and worst parts. And it's up to you, the listener, viewer, to guess which is which before we actually say what it is. Oh, hey,
yeah.
The president is back.
There he is, his Blackhawks on the front lawn. Yeah, there he is again. Can we have holiday episodes without the president? Maybe.
I love Keith David, but maybe that's the gag, is that he is the holiday special character.
Maybe.
Yeah. No. I guess I didn't have a problem with him being there. but. I more so the commentary about Star Wars fandom, like he was being an asshole.
He's a bitter Gen Xer when it comes to Star Wars.
And maybe with all like the other Star Wars stuff that was going on, it felt a little, still a little too raw, you know, like at my parents' house, there was a box of toys and from my uncle, who's a little bit older than me. He passed away, but he always had these Star Wars toys. And so my son was over there yesterday, hanging out with the grandparents, and they came down and they found that box of Star Wars toys. And then it was like the robot from Empire Strikes Back, the one that's like healing Luke. There's like a little Jawa. There was like an old,
is it like the original, like OG, like 70s, 80s, like toys where like the lightsaber went in their arm and you like slid it out. Okay, those are awesome. Yeah, my uncle had a bunch of those, and I remember playing with those as a kid.
So yeah. Cool. And like we played with them as a kid. We watched the original trilogy, even when like the prequel trilogy came out, like wasn't my favorite, but it's still Star Wars and I still enjoyed it. And then the new trilogy came out and all of that stuff. And then like something soured in the last 15 years or whatever. And it just, you know, to hear Keith David, the president, talk in those ways and like to be that negative about it, I was like, ugh. Like,
yeah,
Star Wars stress disorder or whatever it is.
I do think it's interesting though, the
post-trilogy stress disorder. There you go, PTSD.
Boom. Where the president is crapping on Star Wars and making fun of the fandom, and then ultimately he wants to get that lightsaber for himself, and as soon as he's alone, he puts a bowl on his head and starts playing with the lightsaber, which I think is kind of telling a little bit of Star Wars fandom, where it's like we can hate on Star Wars all we want and disagree with creative choices, but deep down there's a part of us that's like, yeah, no, that's still awesome. And if I had a lightsaber, I'd totally swing it around and hope it doesn't land perfectly vertical.
Here's a question for you, Travis. This is something that I had questions about after the first rewatch and a half, which is the president helps Morty get this lightsaber from going into the core of Earth and destroying everything. And then they get back to level ground. And then he takes the lightsaber away from Morty. He's like, I got it. And then he rallies the crew and they all leave that place. Right. And then we see the cave, the nerd cave. And all now he has all of these lights, like so many different lightsabers, lightsaber guns, lightsaber iRobot, lightsaber droids. And so my question is, what? Like he already has the technology for lightsabers. Why?
Yeah.
Like, does that lessen the effect of like, why did the president do it if he has all these lightsabers already?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
I think
it was a way of just building on the arc and being like, oh, early on, yeah, the president hates Star Wars, to ultimately finding out, no, he's a huge, literal, like, closet Star Wars fan with this huge hidden room full of Star Wars memorabilia and stuff like that. So,
yeah. I guess it's like, cubic zirconia versus an actual diamond. You're like, okay, that's great, a fake diamond, fantastic, but it's not a real kyber crystal. But kyber crystals, they power lightsabers, and if right. The president has lightsabers, clearly they're powered by kyber crystals. Where did he get that kyber crystal? You know, this is where our
stars with the strongest hearts, Brandon.
Who's that? Hugh Jackman. he's got a huge heart. Brendan Fraser. Brendan, yeah. Fraser. Anyways, strongest okay. hearts.
Strongest hearts. No cold open threw me off. I mentioned this earlier. But I don't know. I think the episode upon rewatch, knowing there was no cold open, I was like, all right, yeah, fine. We'll just roll with this. Go for it. I also never watched the commercials or anything like that because I just have the uncensored version. So yeah, it's just the pacing was different in this episode, but it wasn't necessarily a bad thing.
The end of season Rick freakout callback.
I know this is a part that you loved in like the original episode, and then when it's been repeated in other finales. How did you feel about it this time?
Oh man, I feel bad. I feel bad, Travis, because I feel like generally I've been a negative Nancy in this episode. Talk about this episode. Yeah. I feel bad about it because I try to be positive. But then it got first there was the twist. We talked about that. I wasn't a huge fan of that because it felt very, very forced and very like it didn't stick with it as long as I felt it should stick with it to transition me from being like, oh, okay, he's been doing that. He felt betrayed and now they're going to rectify them, their relationship. And then he's like, the robot's right. I should have talked to you about my shit. And then he's like, do you want to help? And then it shows Morty's face. And then it cuts to they're down in the cave. They're looking at the thing. Morty talks about Rick Prime. And then Rick says the whole thing like, oh, you're joining me. And then he goes, does that crazy Rick thing. Because all of that felt undeveloped, it seemed very rushed. I would say rushed. Where like I like the manic stuff, but there was, I don't know, it felt forced, I think.
Yeah, and it just didn't feel as and maybe it's just like the way it was drawn or what, but it didn't feel as manic as some of those previous versions of it, to where it just
in the camera, like very zoomed in on Rick. And then zoomed in on Morty as he's like, oh, it was like the shot was like more of a mid shot where like you could see a lot of the background. You could see a lot of the foreground even.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like as it was starting to happen, I was like, all right, like here we go. This is OK. They're doing it again. And then like by the end, I was like, OK, cool. Yeah, they did it again.
Yeah. I said it felt rushed, but it also didn't feel like it was long enough. That was the other bit too. Like it seemed like, oh, okay, here it is. But then it was timing wise, like part of the manic aspect of it is into the credits, it's like fading out and you still hear Rick doing that. Like, that's my arc.
100 years. WWW.
And this time it stopped. It stopped far earlier than we expected. And maybe that's the thing for time. But anyway. I've been negative. I'm done talking.
It's a great episode. It's great. It's great. Overall, I do think
not my favorite.
Like this was a. What were you saying?
It was okay. It's not my favorite.
It was okay. I do think this was a good season overall, and I think the last season finale was so over the top, like incredible, that you can't do that. Every season. You can't be at that same level every season. So
you can.
I am incredibly hopeful that this finale does set up some sort of throughout the next season pursuit of Rick Prime, and there's some adventures where Morty and Rick go out together in search of trying to find this Rick. And again, like Rick said, not in every episode, and sometimes it'll only be mentioned or things like that. But it's something I would hope to see. So you know, we'll see whenever they decide to give us another season. But we will take a breath, right, and then come back and look at the season as a whole in another episode to kind of do an entire recap of the season. And see how we feel now that all the episodes have been released.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we still have an episode to talk about the entirety of season 6. And I guarantee that is going to be a fun, happy, joyful discussion with zero negativity.
Where we like everything and we have no criticisms whatsoever.
No criticism.
I did like the episode.
I did, I
have some feedback.
It's just...
I have notes.
You know, and maybe we'll talk about it in the season 6 discussion. But it was a good episode to top off a good season. But I wouldn't put this episode at the top of the episode list of the season.
Sure.
Does that work? For comparison's sake, you know, it's the worst episode of the last, you know, 10 years. For comparisons. No, I'm joking. Slut Dragon. Okay. Listener suggestions and short outs. Here we go. First of all, everybody in the Twitch chat, just chatting it up. Twitch chatting it up. Thank you.
Much chat.
Thank you all. Zashmo Hunt is watching. Peace among Ricks. Five Long Years was in there a little bit ago. I know I'm missing people.
We had, do we have a new subscriber earlier?
Oh, yeah. Rar One.
Subscribing for another 3 months. Thank you so much for subscribing.
Yeah. Internet still sucks. Sorry. I just saw that I'm glitching. Over on Twitter, shout out to Chase Botwin, who tagged us in a post. You've heard of Elf on the Shelf, but he made a little Morty elf for his niece. She was not impressed.
It's a cool little Morty elf. It's really nice.
His actual kid, not his niece. Sorry. I was thinking my niece. You know?
Yeah. I made it for her. A kid wanted an elf on the shelf, so I made this Morty elf. She is not having it.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Tagged us in the tweet. Thanks for doing that. You know, with that hat, you kind of look like the elf a little bit. Weird. Oh, anyway.
Thanks.
Very nice work on the stitching.
Very, very much so.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What else was there? Over on YouTube, Corn Emperor subscribing over on YouTube. Thanks for the sub. Corn Emperor. Well, everybody, that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you. And it's been a phenomenal season. And we cannot wait for whatever is to come. Thanks for following along with us throughout. And until next time, I'm Travis.
I'm Brandon. Hopefully you can hear this song as we leave the room.
Thanks, everybody. See ya.